back to the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. I'll try to get to your text before I get out of here. You get Will Hampson in the 11 o'clock hour filling in for me. As you just heard, Young Benjamin on the air. We are heading to Atlanta to get to the Braves game tonight, and I needed just an hour extra to get going there, so in case you're wondering. But Will Hampson, very capable, and he'll be with you from 11 to noon. But joining us now, we do this every week, moved him up an hour early so we can get him in on this very important Friday, post-signee die, our returning champion State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, how are you?
I am doing well. Glad to be back home and see the sunrise over the bay this morning, and trying to focus on the 75 to 80% of the stuff we got done that I'm really happy with, and not the 20% of the stuff that didn't get done that we'll have to deal with next year yet again. But that's the nature of the beast, as you well know.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to be positive right immediately after a legislative session, just knowing how it all works. But hey, I guess that's the way you got to do it to keep your sanity.
That's so true, and it's sad because the last day you see this menu of things from which to pick from, and then you end up with it's 5 o'clock, there's the signy die motion, and then that's it. And it's like, whoa, hold on, what about that? There's that one more thing, and we've been here for 3.5 months. Let's just go a little bit further. We can get this done. And there's a multitude of reasons that happens. And listen, that's the game. That's been the game. That's always going to be the game. And you can either play in it, know how to use it to your advantage, or you can get mad at it and go home. And so, at the end of the day, you have to look at what you got accomplished and not get frustrated with the stuff you didn't get accomplished, because you'll pull your hair out otherwise, and I don't have that much left. So.
Yeah, you can see your first few, and I bet you handle things differently as you get more seasoned at this game, and it's kind of knowing just how that town works and how that building works.
It is, and it's always been that way. And you just learn more year over year how to operate within that system and how to get things done. And so I was tickled with some of the wins. I mean, just, from tax cuts to really reining in waste, fraud, and abuse, and the ability to remove entrenched bureaucrats if we needed to looking at career technical education issues that are so very important to anything, from helping out our retirees or school teachers, the education gains that we've seen and the change we're seeing in education to focus on, really kind of some really successful blue collar jobs and workers and how to really improve workforce. I mean, there's just been so many wins. You just gotta get your head right, and you gotta not focus on what got left on the table on the last day.
Tell me this, Public Service Commission getting through. I wasn't surprised when it finally did, but if you told me at the beginning of the session that something like that could spring up out of nowhere and it kind of make its way through the way we watched it make its way through, I would have said that's crazy. When the day came and it did get through after conference, I mean, I wasn't that surprised, but just kind of the way that went, that was maybe the most unforeseen. Well, there's some other unforeseen things that went on in the House, but overall, that to me is probably top of the list.
Yeah, and it's likely to be impactful, and that's the point, right? Is to address, and you and I've talked about this before, two different issues. One of which is an affordability issue, is our rates and how high they are in Alabama. And then to try to get a handle on some of this outside in special interest money that's trying to make us less competitive with our neighboring states, and then less competitive globally by loading us up with additional regulations. So we're trying to get in front of that. And I know there's some folks that are upset about that piece of legislation. And all I would say is, let's see how it works. I'm not saying that it's a perfect piece of legislation. I'm not saying it's a panacea. But the goals are those two things I just stated. Let's see if it's impactful and if it makes a difference. And if it does, great. And if not, we'll change it. And that's how legislation works. That's how you run government. You try to fix problems that you see. the best that you can. And then you kind of sit back and watch and say, okay, is this working the way we thought it is? And so a lot of what we do in Montgomery is just that, is tweak and change things and how government works and how government runs and say, hey, this isn't working as well as we thought. We need to change it. And so that was the goal there. And let's see how it works.
Two things primarily that did not get done: the closed primary bill, the Montgomery policing one. I don't know about closed primaries. I that'll always be a discussion. I think that Montgomery policing thing comes back next year. I guess it just really depends on how Senator Barfoot makes out in this election cycle, but I could see that one certainly coming back.
Let me tell you something. I think Mayor Reed made a huge mistake in not working with Senator Barfoot on that piece of legislation and not embracing additional law enforcement presence in Montgomery. That could have been a real serious help to the businesses in Montgomery, to certainly the citizens in Montgomery, because there is a very real problem. And for him and the chief to say there is no problem in Montgomery is just so tone deaf, it's not even funny. But here's why they should have done it more than anything. When Coach Tuberville becomes Governor Tuberville, he is absolutely going to implement changes in policing in Montgomery. And I wouldn't put the National Guard past him at all. And he's going to crack down and he's going to make the capital city safe. And so I think it was unwise for Mayor Reed not to embrace the help that Senator Barfoot was trying to offer him. Because Coach Tuberville is going to look at it very differently, in my opinion.
Well, it's this, and like Senator, the entire state's having to like come in and fill the gap for the city of Montgomery. Sure, it's been successful and it's very applaudable what the AG and Aaliyah have been able to work in concert with the local authorities there. But you know, this is something. This is something those guys in Montgomery need to kind of handle their own home fires. And that's, to me, is that's the license. That's what makes doing something like this valid, I think, to keep some kind of mandate in place. Because if we're going to have to foot the bill, then, you know, that should come with strings attached.
Well, it should. And that's what Senator Barfoot's bill did, was just that. It said you're going to reimburse the state for the expense. That we're having. The problem is right now, that's not occurring, right? And so the not passing this bill for whatever reason that I cannot figure out, really ends up keeping the state on the hook, instead of putting the city of Montgomery and the taxpayers of Montgomery on the hook for failing to adequately staff their police force. And that's just, it's one of those things that's just disappointing. But I think Coach Tuberville is going to fix it, and I think he's going to be a lot more direct, if you will, than what Senator Barfoot was trying to do.
I mean, you've been going up there now for 8 years. I was talking about this to Montgomery. It's not as safe as it was. I got back in the Alabama game in 2018, like right before the year before you got elected, but even before that, before I was in D.C., and, you know, Montgomery was never what it is now. You didn't hear the random spurts of gunfire, and you got to have a safe place, if anything, for state government to function.
When I stay in a hotel in Montgomery during session, I ask for a room as high up as I can get. And that's not because I want a great view. That's because I hope that when the random gunfire from the street erupts below, that the trajectory of the bullet that comes through the window might actually lodge in the ceiling instead of the wall. And that's just a geometry problem. Montgomery's not a safe town to begin. There is random gunfire that you hear all the time. I've found bullets, not casings, the actual spent round laying in the parking lot of the state house. And it is a culture issue. It is a public safety issue, but above all, it is a leadership issue in that town, and the refusal of that mayor to realize that there is a huge crime problem. And so it is one of those things that, it concerns me. It concerns my colleagues. I know it concerns Governor Ivey. I just don't know why in the world we didn't move forward. I mean, you know, the House adjourned right before they got to that bill. It certainly could have had the time to do that. It could have, you know, would it have been a controversial bill? Yes, of course. But I don't know why. I'll let others answer that question, but I don't know why we couldn't address that.
I guess this is, you don't have to comment on it, but I guess the speaker said that, you know, they don't want a cloture on the last day. And I guess there's a custom there or something. But that was brought up. And so here we are, make of that what you will. Looking at next year now, I mean, I assume, like, not what you didn't get done, it's going to be front and center again. These things that they could put off for one more year, and it's not just closed primaries or that bill in particular, but anything else, it's the game. It becomes more increasingly difficult when you want to do something, say to reform occupational licensing or whatever. That's always going to be around. Things like that are always going to be, we can even say gambling or whatever. But that's sort of what I think the next 4 years look like.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, there are these perennial issues. And again, this is the game. This is the environment. These are the rules that you have to work on over and over and over again. And eventually, if it's a good idea, you get there. You have to engage your colleagues. They have to be engaged, especially on these bigger issues. I mean, look, there are little bills out there about, you know, the Miss Alabama or whatever. I mean, there are those things out there that are easy and non-controversial and okay. You know, you pass those. But then there are really meaty, weighty subjects that deal with taxes or tax credits, that deal with, you know, education and how we fund education, that deal with the growth of government and governance itself and how to do this better. And those issues take time to work through and oftentimes take years to work through. And as much as I hate to say it, that's not always a bad thing, because sometimes you really do need to turn the ship slowly and take time to make sure you're making good decisions and ones that are well thought out and well vetted. And so that's how the process works. And it is slow and tedious sometimes, but that's not always a bad thing.
Well, Senator, you may not have realized it. Maybe you did, and we haven't talked about it, but today's a very important day in Alabama history. It marks the 9-year mark of Governor Ivey's tenure. Historic 9 years in office. She was brought in on April 10th, 2017. I really think about this now that this legislative session's all said and done. There's some good with Governor Ivey. There's some bad. What do you think it's going to look like when it's all said and done? Let's say 10 years from now, what will Ivey be remembered for?
Well, that's a good question. And I think your analysis of it is pretty spot on. There's been some good. There's been some bad. I think one of the good things is she's largely left the legislature to do the legislature's work, right? And there's been a pretty reasonable amount of separation of powers. I can't think of but once or twice that I ever saw the governor in the state house. You know, certainly her chief of staff, maybe on a handful of times, but certainly not a heavy-handed approach with the legislature. I don't get that impression from the incoming administration. I think Coach is going to be very involved in legislative process. And so that's going to be a change from my colleagues and myself. There are some good infrastructure investments that have happened under Governor Ivey. I mean, the deepening and widening of the ship channel, increased transportation spending, specifically in my district, which I'm certainly thankful for, has been good. There's been some bad too, right? The failure of the Mobile River Bridge to really get off and go. You know, the jury's still out on that, but that is just that's not a win as far as I'm concerned. You know, we are finally getting around to prisons and making that happen, but I think the problems getting there have caused the cost to balloon so much that it's a problem. The debt that the governor is going to end up having saddled us with on the West Alabama corridor is going to hobble transportation efforts in the future, because we're going to be paying for her transportation priorities well into two or three governors from now's term. And that's going to really caused some problems. And so, you know, you look at that along with the COVID lockdown stuff that was just, it was better than other states, but it certainly wasn't a principled approach. And so I think, you know, it's a mixed bag. But I think, you know, the swing towards a much more conservative, much more principled approach that you're going to see from Governor Tuberville is going to be something that I think most Alabamians are going to welcome.
Hey, real quick, we got to wrap it up here, but you think that Coach Tuberville, Governor Tuberville, in the future will be more hands-on with the legislature? How do you think that's going to go over?
I don't know, and I think it depends on just how hands-on. I mean, there are going to be times where having a governor that's active and engaged in pushing an agenda is a good thing. Right. Especially if it's a conservative agenda. Hey, coach really wants this. We're going to get this done. That's not a bad thing. You know, if it's too much, you're going to start seeing some pushback because, look, at the end of the day, there's only so much authority and power to go around. Right. And if somebody's got more power than the people that are used to having it, they're going to chafe under that. But I think that his principled conservative approach and his kind of worldview is one that's going to be welcome. I know I'm going to be excited about it, and so I'm very much looking forward to it.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week, but enjoy your time back home.
Thank you. I will do it. Y'all have fun at the ball game.
All right, State Senator Chris Elliott. There, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
The finest pickup to ever play the blues.